Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Yud Daled tonight, and again, I'm grateful to Rabbi Dr. Barak Greenfield, who gave the Daf last night. Okay, so on the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Beis, we're 2 lines from the bottom on page 226, 2 lines from the bottom on Kuf Yud Gimel Beis, 113b. So it says, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Yirkus Lei Maftechei Debei Medr Shobar Shudar Rabin B'Shabta. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, the keys for the shul of the base medrash were lost in the Rashid Rabbim in the public thoroughfare on a Shabbos. The Bach takes out the word Shabbos, but it's clear that it did take place, whether it's here or not, that it took place on Shabbos. So in other words, they can't carry the keys, and so it's a problem. They don't have the keys to the base medrash, and anybody else can grab the keys. So it's bad news. So Akhla coming to Rabbi Padat, he came before Rabbi Padat, Amar Lei, Rabbi Padat said to him, Zil, the Bartali Vitalia, Vilitailu Hatam. Why don't you get some young children, male and female, bring them there? The imashkuluhu maituluhu. If they find the keys, they'll bring it to you, so you'll have its solution. And you just bring the kids there, and they'll automatically pick up the keys. So Alma Kasavar, so the Gemara says from this statement, it sounds like Rabbi Padat holds Katano Kel Nevelo de Bainin Mitsubin Lahafrisho. That if a katan is eating the velo, Nevelo is an example of Naveira. In other words, he's eating the velo. Nevelo is an animal that, let's say, didn't go through shechita, and he, the katan, is eating that animal. Obviously, it could be cooked. Means he's eating treifus. So I'm using the term loosely. So the bezdin is not obligated to separate him from the treifus in the same way anybody else. So the fact that that Rabbi Padat said, bring the kids there and they'll find the keys, even though they'll be carrying on Shabbos, that's a siman that he holds that ain't baked in Mitzvah L'Afrisho. Now this topic will take us into the rest of the parak. Okay, and the Gemara is going to bring different proofs one way or the other way for this. So the Gemara says, Lema Mis, so that's the way Rabbi Padat indeed holds. And that's the way we hold the halacha as well. So he says, Lema Messiah, like, should we say that the following brisa supports Rabbi Padat? The brisa says, Lo Yomar Adam Latino, a person shouldn't say to a child on Shabbos, Habeli Mafteach, Habeli Chotam. Bring me the key, in other words, in a way to do Chotza'ah. Bring me a Chotam, is like a seal, like a stamp. In other words, he shouldn't tell the child explicitly, do hotz on Shabbos, ela manicho tolesh, manicho zorek. But he can leave the child, if the child is tolesh, the child is uprooting something, which would be a malach on Shabbos, or he's zorek, he's throwing something in Rishus Arabim, so I leave him, I don't have to be involved with him. So that brisa seems to support Rabbi Padat. In other words, the child is doing it on his own, I don't have to be involved with him. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye deflects the proof. He says, Tolesh batzit she'eno nakuv. It could be, when we're talking about Tolesh in the Braisa, it's not talking about a malacha d'oraisa, it's talking about a malacha d'rabanan. In other words, if something's growing in a pot and it's a non-perforated pot, we've had this many times before, so there would only be malacha d'rabanan. And Zorek, the Carmelite d'rabanan. And the Zorek and a Carmelite, which would only be rabbinically prohibited. So even the shita that holds that your mitzvah l'hafrisho wouldn't hold the mitzvah l'hafrisho if the underlying prohibition is rabbanan. And the article brought down from the Karen Ora and Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned this also. He quoted the Chagrei Lei, but it's a chakira ma'achronim. What are the tzadim when we say bezin is mitzvah l'hafrisho or not? So there's a chakira that achronim have when we say a child is not bar onshin when he's below bar mitzvah. Doesn't mean that it's complete zero. He has no mitzvah at all, so it's complete zero. Or does it mean he's mitzvah, but there's no punishment? In other words, so there is a mitzvah for him, but there's no punishment there. So if I say it's complete zero for a child, then I would say Bezdin is not mitzvah l'afrisho. If I say there is a mitzvah, but he's not subject to punishment, so then I would say there's a mitzvah l'afrisho. Those would be the tzadim, the way that would go. And here, over here, with the Rais and Rabbanan, so the way I suppose somebody based measures is Rabbi Yonathan Drori, he was saying that if it's the Raisa, it's sort of like in law, malum in se or malum prohibitum, not exactly, but in other words, if it's the Raisa, so that's like, in other words, there's something wrong, gufa, in other words, it's like an Isra Heftza, in other words, this the Torah is telling you, like, eating chazer is bad. When the Chachamim create different gedera, gedarim that they, you know, push you back more, that's not, you know, malum in se, that's malum prohibitum. In other words, they're prohibiting it to you so that, you know, you won't come to be over the Torah. So it makes sense that the child would be only mitzvah on a derice level. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts? That'll wrap you and then everybody else. Go ahead. So Rafi's questions are, he thought that the chait goes to the parents. That's one. Okay, 1 minute. And then secondly, he says, what about chinuch? Okay, the latter first, and then the second one. The first one we'll do second. So chinuch, right. So again, we're not talking per se about the parents here. Or am I as an adult, Bezdin, if I'm an observer, am I obligated to stop a child from doing an aveira? That's the issue. So in Achinami, the father would have a mitzvah chinuch. But this is separate from, this is a different issue with this. Let's say I walk by and I see a kid, he's Mechalel Shabbos. Am I obligated to get involved with him? Now, in terms of the parents with the Onesh, so their Chazal teach us, that also goes hand in glove with the idea of Pinuch, that a parent is held accountable for the child's Aveirot before below Bar Mitzvah. That would go with Pinuch. It was the parent. Again, it's not the parents. In other words, he's inviting the kids. We're having recess. Go enjoy yourselves, kids. That's what we're doing about. Okay, who else got questions, comments to us, anything we did? Okay, friends, quickly go.
Why specifically are the girls suddenly included in this?
The girls. Yeah, so yes. I don't know why the girl. Okay, it's interesting. You know, this Rabbi Yonathan Drury was mentioning to me, he said he heard in the name of the Satmar Rebbe that they asked him, how come they could have the girls and the boys mixed together, you know, to find the keys or whatever. And he, the Satmar Rebbe, said, according to what he was telling me, that when the boys and girls were mixed together, the boys and the girls were just looking at the earth and they're looking at the ground. That's why they find the keys. They're not looking at each other. But I don't know why the girls are involved here in this situation. Okay, now I got to keep moving. Excuse me. Okay, so again, so we have Rebbe Pedat Halacha. We tried to bring a proof and the proof was deflected. Okay, now we're around 8 lines down on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, 104a. So Tashma, Oveid Kuchavim Shabbat L'Chabot. This is, again, talking about Shabbat. This is a Mishnah, Masechet Shabbat, which we had. So he says, it's in this cycle, we passed it with Daf Yomi, I should say. So Oveid Kuchavim Shabbat L'Chabot. If on Shabbat, a non-Jew comes to put out a fire. Let's say Jewish life is not involved. Human life is not involved. And the warehouse is burning down. And now a Goy comes to put out the fire on Shabbat. In Omrim Lo Kabeh, so we, the from Jews, shouldn't say, put it out. We're not going to tell them to put it out. The Al Tachama, nor should do. Are we obligated to say, don't put it out? If they change Shvitza, well, they have. He's got nothing to do with me. I'm not obligated to see what the Goy does or doesn't do anything on Shabbat. He says, Katana Bala Kabod, but if there's a minor child that comes to put out the fire on Shabbat, Omrim Lo Al Tachabeh. So we would say, no, don't put it out. He says, Shashvitzo Alehem, that Alehem, in other words, the people, in other words, generally the observers, are mitzuvah to take care of his Shvita. So we think the pshat is that in Achinami, that if this is the other tzad. So again, Rabbi Pedat is an Amara. He holds that Katan Ochel Nebelot ain't made in the Suman Afriya. But here's a brisa. It sounds like that the Bezdin is mitzuvah lahafrisho, because if they see the child and he's Michal Shabbos, we have to stop him. Alihem on the whole cover has to stop him. So that's a kasha against Rebbe Kadam. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ba'osa al daravi. So Rabbi Yochanan says the brisa is talking about, or could be talking about, a situation where the child, he sees his father and the child discerns, like in his father, the intent or the happy that the father wants the fire put out. So in that case, so even if I hold, you know, Katan Okel Nebelot ain't baked in the Tzuvah L'Afrisho, but I'm not allowed to affirmatively tell the child to be Mechal Shabbos. So here, the child takes it, the father wants it that way. He says, so the Gemara says, so that would be prohibited according to everybody. So he says, so the Gemara says, the Chavataka Bebe Kocham Do Sel Dat Yisrael. So then, if assuming that's the case in the Brisa, then the case of the Goy that's putting out the fire would presumably be that the Goy sees that the Jews are happy that he wants to put out the fire, and therefore he's putting out the fire because he wants to please them, Med Lechora. So the Gemara says, Mishari. So is that allowed? In other words, you're not allowed to tell a Goy to do Malacha for you on Shabbat. So Ovei Kocham Medaik Nenav Sheabes. The Gemara says, no. The Goy, he does his own cheshbonot. In other words, he's not making a cheshbon whether the Jews want or don't want. In other words, he's doing it. He's hopeful that he'll get some reward for it afterwards, but he's not looking at what the Jews per se are thinking at this moment or anything like that. He has his own cheshbon. But the child is eager to please the father. So again, this was a kasha against Rabbi Padad, and then Rabbi Yochanan deflected the kasha. So here, Rabbi Yochanan seems to be allied with Rabbi Padad, because Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the bryce is not a kasha, but it's that the child is looking to the father. Let me just do a couple of proofs, and then I'll pause, okay? So Tashema, so the Gemara brings a different bryce. Ben Chaver, Sharagila Lechetha Avi Imo Am Ha'aretz. You have a Ben Chaver. Chaver is a Tamar Chacham. So Tamar Chacham has a son, and the Tamar Chacham is careful with Trumot and Masrot, but the child goes to his maternal grandfather, who's an Am Ha'aretz. And here, Am Ha'aretz doesn't mean loosely. It means like in Chazal, there were like a group of people known as the Am Ha'aretz, and they weren't so careful with Trumot and Masrot. So, Ein Choshen Shamiach Lenu Devarim Sheinan Metukanim. I, the father, I don't have to be afraid that the grandfather is going to give my son something that's not Metukan. It means food that hasn't been properly, Truma hasn't been taken from, and Masrot have been taken from. Matsabi do Peiro, if I find my child with produce afterwards that he got presumably from the grandfather, Ein Zakuklo, I don't have to be involved with it. So, that now seems like a proof for Rabbi Padat. Rabbi Padat says, if I see a katan doing an aveira, so I'm not mitzuva lahafrisho. Here I see my son, and he's got the food. I'm not mitzuva lahafrisho. I'm not mitzuva to be mafrishim. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So before Rabbi Yochanan was allied with Rabbi Padat, now Rabbi Yochanan seems to take the other side. I'm Rabbi Yochanan b'dmai hikilu. In other words, that's not a proof. In other words, it could be that in Achinami, you are mitzvah lahafrisho. But here we're dealing with an issue of demai. So demai, you may recall, is when you get tavua from the Am Ha'aretz, you buy it from the Am Ha'aretz, you acquire it from the Am Ha'aretz. So most of the Am Ha'aretz, they would all take truma, most would take masrot, but there was a minority, a miur animsa, there was like a significant minority that would not take masrot. So on a din Torah, you're allowed to rely on the robe, and memela it's okay. But the Chachamim said that if you purchase the tefuah from the Am Ha'aretz, you have to take truma and masrot. So the Gemara says, but my hikilu. So this is a din d'rabanan. We already learned that when it's a din d'rabanan, then even according to the tzad that I'm mitzvah l'afrisha, I don't have to be involved if it's a din d'rabanan. So that's what it would say. So this tzad, so the anti Rebbe Padat tzad would say, no, you are mitzvah l'afrisha, but here it's only a d'rabanan you're not involved with. Elatama de demai. So the Gemara says the reason I'm not mesubatim involved is demai. Havadai by lisure. So the implication of that would be that if we vadai untied, in other words, it's vadai teval, then I'm mesuba to be masrur. I see my son going with the produce that masrur weren't taken from, then I definitely have to be involved with him. So that would be, in other words, the diuk here from Rabbi Yochanan is to defend the sad that you're mitzuba to be involved. But in the previous sugya, Rabbi Yochanan was defending Rabbi Padat. And he explained the previous brisa that the child, you know, and you have to stop the child because he looks at the father and he thinks the father wants the fire put out on Shabbos. And that's why you have to be involved. Otherwise, you don't have to be involved. And here he says you do have to be involved. So how do we reconcile that? Rabbi Yochanan was mesupak, which way the halacha is. He didn't know whether it's mesupak l'afrisho or not mesupak l'afrisho. Tai hacha manchi. So whichever way he's on, he's doka. In other words, whichever proof you bring, he's doka the other way. He's saying it could be the other way. It's like lahabdi, like a devil's advocate. In other words, if you're trying to bring a proof for Rabbi Padat, so it could be not Rabbi Padat. You try to bring a kasha against Rabbi Padat, it could be the other way. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan is playing this. All right, a few more lines and I'll pause. Okay, 1 minute. Ben Chaver Kohen, Shragila Leche Tel Avimo Kohen Al Ha'aretz. So here is a sort of similar situation. I have the son of a Chaver, but here, instead of being a regular Israel, he's a Kohen. So Ben Chaver, in other words, his father's a Kohen, he's a Kohen. Ben Chaver Kohen, Shragila Leche Tel Avimo Kohen. So it's a shidduch between Kohenim. His maternal grandfather is also a Kohen, but he's an Am Ha'aretz. He says, Abimo, Esa Abimo, Kohen Am Ha'aretz, in Choshen Shamiach Lenu Truma Tameya. I, the father, do not have to be concerned that maybe the grandfather will give him Truma Tameya. So Truma Tameya, Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma Tameya, but the Ami Haaretz, we're not so careful about Tumen Tara. I don't have to be concerned about that. But Matzabi Ado Peirot, if I find that my grandson, my son comes back with produce that he got from the grandfather, Ainza Kuklo, I don't have to be concerned that it's Truma Tameya. In other words, I don't have to be mafresh him. So that sounds lechora like a proof for Rebbe Padal. So the Gemara says the Truma Drabanan. The Gemara says, no, I could explain that Brisa is talking about Truma Drabanan. If it's Truma Drabanan, then he's been having in a state of Truma is only in Drabanan. So even the Tzad that says that Yimitsuba Lahafrisho says by Drabanan, you don't have to be involved. Okay, let's just pause for a second and think what we just learned. So we were just going through different Hochachot. I think Rabbi Leibowitz said there are 12 of them in our Sugya. And we went both ways. We tried to bring Kus 4 and against Rabbi Padad. And so far, we didn't get one way or another way. Okay, whose question comes to us? Anything like this so far? Everybody good? What's up, Rafi? I don't know. I don't know what the grandfather knows or doesn't know. The grandfather's an Am Haaretz. He feels the food is good enough for him. He feels the food is kosher. It's good enough for him. It's good enough for the grandson. All right. Now, okay, let's go further. Okay, we're back in the Gemara. Okay, we're around 10 lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Yudalet Amud Aleph. Tashma. Again, we're trying to bring, this is going to try to bring a proof. I think this is going to be, one second. Yeah. So this we think is going to be a proof for Rebbe Padad. We're trying to bring a proof. So Tashma, means you have a very young child, So he's allowed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. That's what the Tana of the Brisa says. He can nurse from the non-Jewish woman. He can also like suckle a non-kosher animal, like a pig, in other words, to extract the milk. We're not concerned that he's ingesting something which is prohibited. Now, the halacha is that, and we will talk a minute, like you shouldn't, the poskim say you shouldn't have a non-Jewish woman nurse the child, because it's more, we're afraid about the spiritual influence of it. In other words, that we're afraid that the non-Jewish woman eats trephis, and somehow that's carried through into the milk. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem caused him not to want to nurse from any of the non-Jewish women. But here, the Mishnah, the Brisa says that if the child is nursing from the non-Jewish woman, it's like Nishka Ferlach, and even if a child's nursing from a non-kosher animal, the milk from a non-kosher animal is definitely non-kosher, you don't have to worry about it. But I shouldn't affirmatively feed the child trephis. I shouldn't give him non-kosher food. Umikulam yonek mehem bafilu b'shabbat. But the child himself can nurse from all non-kosher animals, and even on Shabbat he can nurse. And there's more problems on Shabbat that we'll talk about. Uvagadol asur. Now, by gadol is usually an adult, but here the article quoted Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos, where the Tosfos says gadol here means an older child, a toddler. So if it's a gadol, it's asur. Abba Shaul says that we were Noeg that children could nurse from a kosher animal on Yontif. Okay? So presumably older children. Now, the Gemara says we'll take each part by itself. So focusing on the first halacha in the Brisa says I have an infant and he's nursing from a non-kosher animal, and he's ingesting non-kosher milk, because it's, let's say, from a pig. So he's ingesting, or a camel, whatever it is. He's ingesting non-kosher milk, and that's fine. I don't have to be involved with that. So that seems like a raya for Rebbe Padak, that, you know, katan okel nevela in betzen mesuvah lafrisho. If the katan's eating, you know, trephis, I don't have to be involved with him. So the Gemara says, "Hakam yishum sakana." The Gemara says, "No, you don't have a proof from over there, because I could say the Brice is talking about sakana. In other words, it's a life-threatening thing. If the child doesn't get this milk, the child is going to die." And Rashi says, "Shim lo yinakim what betama. If he doesn't nurse, he's going to die of thirst." He says, "Ihachi gadol nami." If that's the case, whatever the gadol case, whether the gadol is the older child, like the 3 or 4 year old, or it's an adult, whatever it is, so then he should also have a green light to nurse from the animals. And yet the same Brisa says the gadol is not allowed to do that. Gadol by undana. So a gadol requires an evaluation whether he or she indeed requires that milk. So he says, katanani li by undana. That's the case. So the infant should also require an undana. Amar Huna b'reid Rabbi Yeshua, stam tinok v'suka neitzatalak. So Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, says, like a tinok is assumed, that law to require, it's a sakana if they don't get the milk. That's what it's saying. Like we just had in the news, what was it with the formula that they, you know, the people couldn't get formula and it was like an urgent matter. So if a child doesn't get milk, it's a crisis situation. So again, so we tried to bring a proof for Rabbi Padat from the Bryce. So the fact that the Bryce signs off on the infant nursing from a non-kosher animal. And then the Gemara says, no, it could be that's a sakanas nafashos, and that's why it's permissible. Let me do a few more lines of reports. Two lines above where it gets wide. Now, having brought up this brisa, the Gemara is going to touch up the rest of the brisa. Abba Shaul Omer, no giving you a shion kim behemot Torah b'yom tov. Abba Shaul says, we were no egg, that sounds like the rest, with toddlers, whatever, would nurse from a kosher animal on Yantiv. So there's going to be a problem with milking an animal on Shabbos or Yantiv, because it's malacha of mefarek. And mefarek, and Rabbi Leibowitz was going through this, is a question. Mefarek means extracting, like you're not allowed to milk an animal on Shabbos. So it's a question which malacha does it fall under. It might be dash, might be kolesh, might be mamachek. Anyway, but it's prohibited. So he says here, but Abba Shul says on Yantiv we would do it. So hechi dami, what's the case? Idi ika sakana, if he's talking about this is a sakana, life-threatening situation, that even on Shabbat you would have to do it. Like a sakana, and if there's no sakana, then even on Yantiv it's prohibited. So what's he saying? So lo tzricha dichitzara, meaning that the child is in a state of distress. He says, but it's not sakana. The kasavar, the farek, kil afar yadhu. He holds, or the Tana of this brisa holds, that when the child nurses, in other words, he locks on to the nipple of the udder of the cow, or not the cow, the pig or the camel, that's mefarek klacharyad. In other words, klacharyad is in the not natural way. The natural way is you squeeze the animal. That's mefarek. I squeeze, you know, the nipples, whatever. What's the right term to use? What? Udder. No, but the udder is the whole thing. But each individual is a nipple, right? That you're. What is it?
Teat.
Okay, that's what they said. Yeah, that's the general teat. Okay, anyway, but he's, in other words, you squeeze it with your hand. That's the regular way. If you take it with your mouth, that's klach or yad. That's unnatural. So that would reduce it from a malacha d'oraisa to malacha d'rabbanan. Shabbat the Easter skilam gazru rabbanan. So Shabbos, if I would do it, in other words, with my hands, so that's an Easter skila. So the Chachamim made a gzeira, I can't even do it klach or yad. It says, but Yom Tov, the Easter Lav, but on Yantiv, where the underlying prohibition is at most an Easter Lav, lo gazru be'rabanan. The Chachamim didn't make a gzeira to nurse with the mouth. So that's the pshat with that. All right, who's a question that comes
to us? Is there an issue with min hamuchan on Yantiv? In other words,
you mean for muksa? Yeah. You want to say that the milk did not exist in the world before Shabbos or before Yantiv?
There's no lot, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't thought about that. I have to give it some thought. I mean, the only way out of it is to say that the milk was there from yesterday, but I need to give it some thought. I have to get back with you on that. Okay, Ruth, what's up?
The whole issue of a toddler needing to nurse, isn't that a little bit irregular in any past a year or two?
No, I know. This one needs it. This one's past it and needs it. What can I tell you? All right. Now, all right. I'm going to move forward. Okay. Awesome. Any other questions?
Awesome.
Okay. Okay, Rafi, then we got to stop. Go. Okay. We're talking about different things. Okay. So let's talk about language. What is the Bryce? What language is the Bryce? One second. So, okay, so the Brisa uses tinok. Tinok is like the infant. And then the Brisa uses gadol, which the Bali Tosfot would say means like an older toddler. So let's use those terms. So are you talking about the tinok? For the tinok. So he's like 3 months old. This is like, kind of, he doesn't have it. So we let him go and get some tehei. If it would be sakana, but the Gemara says you need an umdana, you need an evaluation whether indeed it's a sakana. And it was like, we maybe have to have a doctor take a look at him and things like that. Okay, but the Gemara says that the tinok is like, it defaults over to being a sakana. What's up, Aaron Moshe, quickly?
It has to be a sakana, because if it wasn't a sakana, you have to say that the kid is possibly pesha also ladabe mishchina. You shouldn't take from a goy or from a
yeah. Well, right. Or, so that's something that the post can speak about.
That was.
I don't know. In other words, I don't know. If it has to be sakanas nefashos, you know, to permit you to take the wet nurse from the non-Jewish wet nurse. But indeed, the post can say that a child shouldn't take from the non-Jewish wet nurse. And there's a piece from Emes Liakov, and Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned this, and I've seen it before. Right. So he says that, like the Chazal teaches, the Pesha Tidlot Ber Meshchina, that Moshe, who was going to speak with the Shechina, so Hashem didn't want him to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. So you can ask, well, what about my kid? You know, who is my kid going to speak with the Shechina? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, each child, we have to hope that he'll rise to the highest levels of ruchnius, and so we have to protect them and let them, you know, and keep them away from the non-Jewish woman, the wet nurse. Okay, I got to move forward. Okay, the third white line. Okay, so again, we're still with Rabbi Padat. We're trying to bring proof one way and the other way. So again, Rabbi Padat says that Nathan is not Mitzvah La Frisho. So Tashma, I'm quoting another Braisa. Lo Tochlom Kishekatem. So this pasuk is talking about shratzim in the court. Crawling creatures like lizards and things like that, don't eat them, kishekatim, because they're an abomination. But the Gemara takes it that the word is like superfluous, because it says, don't eat it. So lo toklum, so lo ta'achilum. So if I understand lo toklum, then I'll read lo ta'achilum, which I could read it that way, if I put the dots differently. Teach me that adults are obligated, lakora, to admonish ketanim. This is a braisa. So it sounds like the braisa is saying that if I see a child, you know, eating the sheretz, I say, don't do that. So that would be a question against Rabbi Padat. My lab to amar lahu lo toklu. Is it not that he should say to them, don't eat it? Lo, the lo listu lahu biyadai. No, I could say the pshat in the braisa is that I shouldn't affirmatively give them the trapus. In other words, to give them here's some whatever, eat some trafus. That I can't do. And that's what the Torah, the Drash is saying, can't do it. Okay, so that's one Bryce that has that way. Then Tashma, second Bryce, when Nefshmi come lo tochal dam. So it says that you shouldn't ingest blood. You know, even if it's from a kosher animal, I can't ingest blood. And remember, the Dama Nefesh is a chiv kare. So the Gemara takes that superfluous pasuk because it says don't eat blood in other places. Lazir adolim al ketanim. To admonish adults concerning children. My love, the Ami Luhu Lo Toklu. Is it not that the Torah is saying the adult should admonish children not to ingest blood? Lo, the Lusru Luhu Biyadayim. Same thing as before, that adults shouldn't give blood to the child to ingest, but that's all. Then the third writes that Tashma, Emor Biyamar, so this is Parshat Emor, so it says concerning the Konim, Emor La Konim B'nei Aron Biyamar Talihem. Say the Konim and say to them. So it says say and say. And Rashi brings down his parish of Chumash that the adults are supposed to admonish the youngsters. My love, the Amar Luhu Lo Titamu. Is it not that the adult should admonish the young Kohenim? I'm talking about. It means if you're an adult, you say to the young Kohen, don't be Mitame. Lo, the Lo Titamu Luhu Biyadayim. I shouldn't be Mitame him with my hands and say, you know, here, you know, go into the cemetery or something like that. So we have three braises that contain admonitions. Not to give biyadayim is the way it comes out. One dealt with the shratim, with the crawling creatures, the other with the dam, and the third with the konim, with tuma. So he says, they're all three were necessary. If Torah told me shkatzim, which means abomination, but it's talking about shratim over there, turn page, yishum di yisiran b'mashu. I would say the reason that I'm admonished not to give it biyadayim is because it's very chamor, Yisran B'mashu. Rashi says, B'cha'adashak tumatan. In other words, the tuma, and it's talking about, if you say the eight shratim, remember there are eight shratim that are matame. Remember, we learned in Mesech Shabbat, Shmona shratim. So those shratim are matame because of the size of a lentil. Lentil is very small. It's much smaller. It's one of the smallest shurim. So just like the tumah is bekadasha, so too the Easter achilah is bekadasha. That's very small. Now, the other ones would not be kadasha, but the way the Arsul said, it could be, let's say, like an ant, like a small ant would be a whole birya, and that would be prohibited. Anyway, those are the korbanos by the shratzim. About dam, da'adiku revi'it, aim alo. But a dam, the shear for dam is revi'it, which is much larger. So I would say there, it's not so kamur, and mamela, he's not even mitzuva, not to give it bi'adayim. Now, there's a question whether it's revi'is or a kizayit. We have revi'is here, but there's elsewhere it learns kizayit. Some want to say it should be kizayit here as well. But either way, it's larger than a kadasha. The Yeshmin and Dam, and if the Torah only taught me the admonition by Dam, Kim de Ikakare, that's Chamor, because if you intentionally consume the Dam, then you can Sechiv Kare, the excision, you know, you lose your Chelech Olam Haba, or you die young, or your children die. About Shratzi, maybe a lot, but Shratzi must say not. So I need both of those. Because again, so one is the Chiv Kare, one's the Easter Mashuhu, and I wouldn't know one from the other one. Yeshmin and Hadi Tarti, and the Torah only told me those two cases with the Shratzim and with the Dam, Yishum to Yisran Shavibakol. I'd say the reason Torah admonishes me not to give it be a dime because everybody's subject to this, those Yisurim. Well, Tuma, Eimalo. But Tuma, that's an admonition just directed to Kohanim, just to a portion of Klal Yisrael. So there I would say there is no prohibition. So I would say, therefore, yes, right by there. Yeshmin and Tuma, and if he would only teach me the case by Tuma, I would say Kohanim Shani, the Kohanim are different. Yishum Deriba and Mitzvot Yitero. I'm flipping it over the other side. The Konim are more chamor because they have so many extra mitzvot. You know, so he says here, Abal Hani Emelo, the other one's not. Tricha. So I need all three psukim, but the bottom line is those three psukim are just teaching me that I can't give a biadayim, but it's not relevant to our discussion about Rebbe Bitat's Din with Katan Ochel Nebelo. Okay. Who's had questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, welcome, Daniel. Okay, Baruch Haba. Okay, so we're on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, around six lines down. Okay, everybody with me? Okay, now. So are you up to the daf? Did you do the daf today? You know we're holding? Okay, so you know what's going on. Okay, so Tashma, so now the Gemara tries to bring another proof. This is going to be a kasha against Rebbe Bittat. We're going to quote three sections of our Mishnah. So Tashma, Shnei Achim, Echad Pikeach, Echad Cheresh. They have two brothers. One's a Pikeach, he's got his full faculties, and the other's a Cheresh, a deaf mute. Nisum Shnei Achayot, they're married to two sisters, Pikot, who were full faculties. Made Cheresh Baal Pikachad. Now the Cheresh, who was married to the Pikachad, dies. So he only has Kiddushin on a Drabbanan level. That whole marriage was a Drabbanan level. He says, Maya sepikeach bal pikachat. So now, let's say Reuven was married to a Cheresh. Rachel was a Chereshet. And now Reuven, two brothers. In other words, Reuven was the Cheresh. And Reuven dies. And now he leaves Rachel, who's got her full faculties. Maya sepikeach bal pikachat. What should Shimon, who's married to Leah, what should he do? That's easy because, in other words, here Shimon is married to Leah on a derisa level. So whatever Rachel is doesn't really matter. Rachel is Leah's sister. So there's no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza with her. She's Achot Ishti. In other words, that's an Erva, one of the Arayos. It's the first mission of our Masechta. Nice sort of code on our Masechta. So he says, so that's not an issue. But may Pikeach Baal Pikachat, let's say Shimon, who is normal, and while his wife Leah is normal, and Shimon dies, what should Reuven, who's the Cheresh, who's married, in quotation marks, to Rachel, what should he do? Motzid ishto beget, he has to divorce his wife, because now he has a Zika Doraisa with Leah, and he has only a marriage on a Dorabanan level with Rachel. So as a result of the Zika Doraisa with Leah, so he's quote-unquote married to a Achot Zekukato, so he's got to divorce Rachel. He says, Ve'esh l'chiv asur li'olam. And then Leah is prohibited forever. He can't do anything with Leah. He can't give her a chalitza because he's a cheresh. A cheresh, he's a cheresh, so he can't do chalitza because of speaking parts. And he can't do yibam with her because she's akod ishto, in other words, his wife's sister. So she's prohibited forever on everybody. Now, the Gemara says, Amai motzid ishto beget. Why should we say, again, he's the Cheresh. A Cheresh is the legal equivalent to a Katan. He's a Chayresh. He was married to Rachel on a Drabanan level. So why should he have to divorce Rachel? He says, Tetiv Gabay, Tatan Ochel Nevelahu. In other words, what's his situation? So why are we forcing him, the Chayresh, Reuven the Chayresh, to divorce Rachel, his wife? We're forcing him because she's the sister of his Zakuka. In other words, she's is a Chot Zakukato. But he's a Chayresh, so leave him alone. In other words, if the din is like Rabbi Pedat, the Katan Ochel Nevelo, it ain't Beit Mitzvah Lafrisho, the Chayresh is the legal equivalent of a Katan. So let him be. Let him be. So he says, so the Gemara says, Mishum Yisura Digo. So the Gemara says, you're right. It could be him we would leave alone. But we're concerned with Rachel. Rachel is a full facultied woman. She's under a prohibition to remain with him. And that's why we force him to divorce her. Okay, let me just do two more proofs and then we'll finish the parak. And then we have a few minutes for questions and we'll go on. Okay, Tashma. So now we quote another section of our Mishnah. This Mishnah we had on Kuf Yud Beis, that was on Monday we did this, right? Monday. Okay, so Kuf Yud Beis is Monday, right? Kuf Yud Beis is Gimon Yud Dalet, right?
Yeah.
Monday.
Yes.
Okay, so Tashma. Shnei Achim Pichim, now it's the reverse case. I have two brothers who have their full faculty. Nisum Shtei Achayot. They're married to two sisters. One is full faculty and one is a chereshet. So before, one of the men was a chereshet. Now one of the women is a chereshet. And again, two brothers married to two sisters. May Pikeach Baal Chereshet. Now if Reuven, who is married to a chereshet, if he dies, Mayase Pikeach Baal Pikachot. So what should Shimon do? So Shimon is married to Leah. Leah's full faculty. He's married to her on a derisa level. And Rachel, the sister, though, is a chereshet. Tesei Shema Chodisha. That's not a difficulty because he's married to Leah on a derisa level. So Rachel walks because she's the sister, in other words, the sister of the wife. In other words, it's an heir of a tam. So she walks. But May Pikeach Baal Pikachot, let's say Shimon dies, Mayasa Pikeach Baal Chereshet. Now, what should Reuven? Reuven is married, in quotation marks, to Rachel on a Derubanan level. But Reuven's brother died, and Reuven now has a mitzvah of Yibam with Leah, right? Pikeach Baal Chereshet. He's a Pikeach. So he, on a Derisa level, he has a mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza with Leah. So the Talmud Mishnah says, Motzi Bishto Beget, he'll divorce his wife, because his wife is the sister of his Zakuka. This is Ve'eshet Achiv B'Chalitza. And then the widow, Leah, he has to do Chalisa with her. He can't do Yibam with her because she's also the sister of his wife, but he'll do Chalisa with her. He could do Chalisa. So the Gemara says, well, if it's true that Katan Ochel Nevelot ain't Beitim and Suvan Lafrisho, so why do we say that Reuven has to divorce Rachel? Rachel was the Chereshe. He says, Tetiv Gabay, why can't she continue to live with him? Katan Ochel Nevelot. So, in other words, she's like a katan. She doesn't have her full faculty. She's a chereshet. But she doesn't care. And why are we caring? Why do we care if she stays with him? So the Gemara says, if Rabbi Pedat is correct, Mishum Yisur Didei. So the Gemara says, because of his Yisur. You know, in Achinami, it could be Rabbi Pedat will say for her Yisur, we would leave her alone. But he, Reuven, is now married to a woman that he has Yisurim involved because he has the Zika with Leah. And she's a chot zekukato. And even though he ends up doing chalitza with Leah, that doesn't cure the whole situation. Okay, so one last proof, and then we'll do some things, and we'll wrap it up, hopefully. So Amar Rava Tashma. So first we brought a proof where the man was a chayresh. Then we brought a proof where the woman was a chayresh. In each case we said, we're forcing them to divorce because the other one, the full faculty member, is concerned with it. So now we're going to have a case where they're both lacking full capacity, and yet we make them get divorced. Tashma, Shnei Achim, Echad Chereish V'Echad Pikeach. I have two brothers, one's a Chereish, one's a Pikeach. Nisum L'Shtei Achayot, Echad Pikeach V'Chereishet. They're married to two sisters, one's a Pikeach, one's a Chereishet. So it means the Pikeach is married to the Pikachot, and the Chereish is married to the Chereishet. So May Chereish Baal Chereishet. Let's assume Reuven and Rachel are going to both be Chereishim. So Reuven dies. What should Shimon, who's married on a derisa level to Leah, do? That's not a problem. She'll walk because she's the sister of my wife. That's the first Mishnah. But here's a key case, though. May pikeach bal pikachad. Let's say Shimon dies. Ma'aseh cheresh bal chereshet. What should Reuven, who's married, he is a chereshet, he's married to a chereshet. What should he do now? Motzid ishto beget. The Tana Mishnah says he has to divorce his wife with a get, which is going to be the question why he has to divorce the wife. He's got to divorce the wife because she's the sister of the zakuka. But his brother's wife is prudent forever. He can't do chalitza with her because he's a cheresh. And he can't do yibam with her because she's the sister of his wife. He says, now, so here I can't say we're concerned for the isur of the full faculty spouse because neither spouse has got full faculty. In other words, they're both the legal equivalent of ketanim. He's a cheresh, she's a chereshet. Why do we force him, Reuven, to divorce Rachel? He doesn't care, she doesn't care, unless you say the katan ochel nevelot beit the mitzvah l'afrisho. That's kashin that's Rebbe Pedat. The katani motzid ishto beget. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says we force him to divorce his wife with a get. So Amar of Shmaya gzeiru shema hatar libam l'shut. So Shmaya says the concern is not with either one of them. That's not the concern. The concern is that if we leave them as they are, people will assume that we're leaving them as they are because he was, quote unquote, married to a woman whose sister, Yavama, came up for Yibo. And that in a situation like that, that she's permissible to the Shuk. In other words, normally if I have somebody who's married to Yavama's sister, Yavama takes a walk, doesn't have to do anything. So if I leave him with his wife, people will think the reason I'm leaving him with his wife is because there is no mitzvah yibam here because she's the sister of the wife, which would normally be the case. And that the sister of the wife doesn't need to do anything, but the sister of the wife does need chalitza. She needs, and here in this case, she can't get chalitza, so it's prohibited, but people wouldn't realize that. So therefore, I make him divorce his wife, and people understand that there's an issue involved here that he needs to do yibum or chalitza, and he can't do either one. Okay, yes, hadron lacheresh, yes, koch, everybody. You just completed 14 prakim in the second Yavama, only 2 prakim left, and 8 days left. We're closing in on it. Rafi, what do you got for me, quickly? No. Well, you mean the cheresh with the chereshet? Yeah, that marriage that marriage we're going to have to destroy because of what people may think. That's Xera. That's true. This is the situation. It was the bigger picture. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay. If I get a few minutes later, I'll do a piece from the Yalla Daf. I want to make sure we finish our Daf today, and then we'll move on. Okay. Let's look at the next Mishnah. It's getting exciting. We are
at the end. One question. The end of that long Mishnah that we had Monday night with all these cases, the Chayresh, Chayresh, how come at the end there isn't a Zehaklal like there had been in a lot of the Mishnayot that came before?
Right. When it says Zehaklal, that's for a ribui, right? When the Gemara says Zehaklal, that's a code. That means the Tana here is adding on something that you didn't know before, right?
From the individual cases.
Right, it was the additional chiddush, but here he's nothing. Okay, let's go more further. Now, if a woman goes off with her husband to like an overseas country, shalom beino lebeina, as far as we know, they're getting along fine, hunky-dory, shalom ba'olam, and there's no wars going on, ubava amra, and then she comes back and says, mate bali, my husband died, tinasei. In other words, we'll believe a woman to say that my husband died. And again, it's based on the idea that she will check up before she remarries to make 100% sure that he's dead, but we'll trust her. And here, when the Mishnah says about shalom between her and the husband and shalom in the world, that's really coming from the next case. In other words, here, that shalom part isn't so relevant. It's the next case. Now, So whether it's Nisuin or Yibam that follows, we'll believe her. Shalom beinon lebeina. Let's say she's getting along well with the husband. umelchama ba'olam. But there's a wartime situation. He says, let's say like she's in Ukraine. Or she's not getting along with the husband. We know there's fights, there's shalom ba'olam, but there's shalom in the world. Ubata ba'amra, and then she comes and says, mate Bali, my husband died. But then we don't believe her. So we don't believe her because in the wartime situation, we think she's saying my husband died, but really she's making sort of like, Avraham Elimelech, why don't you grab a Gemara and just join us for a few minutes? Grab the Gemara and come. Okay, so the so we're afraid that like she's thinking like so many people died and my husband, he survived, like he's dead also. In other words, so even though she doesn't know, can you move a little closer to Daniel so I can see Rafi? Okay, thank you. So even though she doesn't know that he really died, but she says he died because she figures that's way it's like Bididami, like, you know, she's making omidas, like an evaluation. He must be dead. So she's got no compunction about saying he's dead, but she doesn't really know that. And he may not be dead. And then if it's Ktata Beino Lebeina, so then she doesn't mind if it turns out that he's really alive, because she didn't want him anyway, and she's happy the Bezdin will direct him to divorce her. So normally we're afraid the woman, if he turns out to be alive, she'll be upset about that. Here, if he turns out to be alive, good, I'm happy. Now Bezdin will say, yes, divorce me. I never wanted to be married to him anymore anyway. Now, on the fourth wide line on Kuf Yudal and Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Liola Main and Emenet, Rabbi Yehuda says, she's never believed, Elim Kane, Bata Bocha B'Gadet Kruim, unless she walks into the Bezdin and she's crying, her clothes are ripped. And so, in other words, like you could say she's a good actress, which the Gemara is going to get into, but in other words, the Chacham say back to him in the Braisa, so the woman that's a good actress, you're going to believe the one's not such an actress, you don't believe? He says, Amrilo, akatsu akatsu tina say. Whether she comes in crying with the ripped clothes, she can remarry if it's not a time lochama, and if it's not k'tak tebein ol tebein ah. Okay? All right. Now, let's just see for
question.
A second. 1 minute, I have to move on. I can't take questions right now. Just give me a few minutes, okay? Now, look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Aisha b'shalom b'olam. She'ein shachirim. It's not like an emergency. The tema b'didami ma'umid liba, that she said it like just from her own evaluation. Impirishim en achodesh o'chodshayim. The husband left her a month or two ago in the Rashi, the fourth white line. Badai ho v'lo chazar ha'gu listim. In other words, she thinks he didn't show up. They must have killed him. The hoil v'lav shachirim, if it's not an emergency, ilav the chaziti to meet, unless she had seen him that he's dead, chaisha l'kukula shem yavola ahar, shenise t'mekukela. In other words, a woman wouldn't be so brazen as to say he's dead if it's not wartime or something like that, because I'm afraid that, like, if I remarry, then he'll show up, I'll be in trouble. Kudamar bin sharaba, lo amar bin dami. Everybody has to hold off. I don't have time for questions right now. You must be patient. Okay. Now let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Tana shalom beino lebeina mishum when minekata beino lebeina." So the Tana Mishnah told me the case when it's peace between the husband and wife, because there's a later case he really wants to see you when there's a fight between them. Tana shalom ba'olam. He taught in the first case that there's peace in the world. So the Gemara in the milchama ba'olam. He really wants to see the peace in milchama. So the chiddush in the Mishnah is when there's a fight between them. Or they're coming from a war zone. Somebody keeps unmuting themselves, which is bad. Okay, now he says here, Amar Rava, my tama de malkama. So Rava says, what's the reason why when there's a malkama we don't believe the woman? Mishum da amra b'didami, because she, in other words, she says he's dead, but she has no problems with saying that, even though it's really based on her evaluation, her assumptions. He says, and here the Bach has the word. He says, the Savra, Salkadaita, the Kol Hani, the Iktol, who pilot. In other words, this is a wartime situation. She sees so many people getting killed. Like she thinks, all these people died. My husband survived. He's dead too. He says, Im Timsi Lomar, came with the Shalom Beino Lebeina. Maybe you say, look, since they're, even though there's a wartime situation, but they're getting along so nicely, so Natra Adachazia, so he would wait until she sees that he's definitely dead. Sometimes they'll shoot an arrow into him, or they'll pierce him with a knife, with a blade. The Savravah they made, and she'll think, ah, he must be dead. He says, "V'ita the avad smantri b'chaya." But there are people who can make like a sort of medicinal potion, and he could live. But she comes to Bezdin and says he's dead. but it may not be dead. So we can't rely on her statement. Now, this Sava Rabba Lameimar, the first very wide line, Sava Rabba Lameimar, Ra'avon Eino Kimalchama. Rabba thought to say that a famine is not like a Malchama. It lets this famine going on. In other words, the Lo Amra B'Dadami. In other words, if there's a famine going on and she says, my husband is dead, so we'll believe her. He says, Hadar Amar Rabba, Ra'avon Hareyu Kimalchama. Subsequently, Rava changed his position and he said, if there's a famine, it's just like coming from a war zone. He says that why? It was a woman who came before Rava. My husband died in the famine. I want to remarry. So Amar La, so he, Rava, wanted to sort of like trap her and said, you did very good to save yourself. You know, even though you ran away when your husband was still alive, would you think that he could ever live with the small amount of flour that you left him? He must be dead. So the woman says to Rava, oh, you also realize that that a person can't live like that. So it means that she has no compunctions, even in case of Rava and famine, saying he's dead when it's not really dead. You know, so it's not, so that's not reliable either. So first Rava thought that Ravon is better than Melchama. Then he said Ravon is the same as Melchama. If you want, we have Gemara here. If you want to open a Gemara, it's Torah Shabbat has good, but Otiot Machimot. Why don't you grab a Gemara? It's right there. Second shelf on the bottom in the left corner. Okay, so he says, Hadar Amar Rava, then Rava, right where your hand is, yeah. Hadar Amar Rava, then Rava said, Ravon Guriyam Melchama. He said, Ravon, famine, is worse than Melchama, means we have to be even more chamor than Melchama. The Ilu Melchama, ki amra made Bali Melchama, hudlo mehemna. By Melchama, if she says, my husband died in the war, we don't believe her. But if she says, I saw him dead on his bed, like dead, then we would believe him, even if it's Melchama. The Ilu Gabi Ravon, but in the case of famine, ad amra made ukvar tiv. There, we require to say, he was dead, and I buried him. And he's dead and buried. In other words, he says, so let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Mapolet, let's say there's a collapsed building with four lines from the bottom on page 228, Kufi's Alan and base, four lines from the bottom. Mapolet, let's say there's a collapsed building, Hareyu Kimalchama. That's like a war. He says, the Amra B'Dadami. There also, in other words, the building collapses. She said, my husband died in the collapsed building. But it may not be that he died. But she has no compunction coming to the best and saying he died. You know, like that. And so we can't rely on her. She looked the Sashim Vakravim. Let's say there's a whole group of snakes and scorpions. Harein Kimalchama. That's also like Kimalchama. The Amra B'Dadami. He says that she also would make an evaluation like he must have died. And she wouldn't say he must have died. She comes to the best and she says he's dead. And so we can't rely on that. Dever, let's say pestilence, Amri la, Harehu Kimalchama. Some want to say that pestilence is like the Melchama, but Amri la ain't no Kimalchama. Some say it's not like the Melchama. Amri la, Harehu Kimalchama, the Amri B'Dadami. Some want to say it's like a Melchama that she'll say, like, she's making her own evaluation, but he's really maybe not dead. But Amri la ain't no Kimalchama. Some want to say, no, it's not like a Melchama. The Samtia, the Amri Inshi, because like people rely on what there's a statement like a pitgam, like people have a saying. Tafshin have a motna. There were 7 years of pestilence. Venus below shnei lo azil. A person didn't die before his time, meaning that she wouldn't necessarily assume that he died from this devar. In other words, let's say maybe he had pestilence and she didn't see him dead. So would she say that he's dead even though she didn't see him dead? So not necessarily, because people say, like, you don't die before your time with the Dever. So it's a little different than Melchama. Okay, one more line, then I'll have 60 seconds for questions, and we got to go, okay? So Yibai Lahum, the question was asked in the base medrash, Hechzika hi Melchama ba'olam mahu. Let's say she comes from a place, and we don't know that there's a Melchama in that place. And then she, as a result of the trip, says, there's a Melchama in that place, and my husband died. But we wouldn't know about the Melchama but for her statement. So it says, Miyam Rinan, Mala L'Shaker, Dibaya Amra, Shalom Ba'olam. Do we say it's like a Migo? If she wanted to lie, she would say a bigger lie. She would say there was peace there and my husband's dead and that we would believe her if she wanted to lie. So it's amigos. So she didn't say that. So she said, no, there's war there, but we didn't know that. So we'll believe her with amigo. Maybe that's one way. Odilma came into Yichazka, Amra B'Dadami, Loatu Mali Shakir Maratas Kate. Or maybe I'll say it like this. It means it's not really, amigo is she could have said a better lie. Here, in her mind, she's not saying a lie. She thinks she's telling the truth. That's not the same as amigo. In other words, amigo is, if I wanted a lie, I'd say the bigger lie. So since I didn't say the bigger lie, I believe me with this. Here, she doesn't think she's lying at all. She thinks under all scenarios, she's telling the truth. So it could be that there is no amigo in this situation. Okay, I have 60 seconds for questions and that's it. Okay, go ahead.
How come in all those other cases, we say she investigates and here we say she's lying?
No. In other words, here we think that, in other words, normally we would say a woman would investigate. Here she thinks
because she doesn't want to deal with children.
In other words, I saw him with a knife in his gut, and it was war, and he's dead. You know, and even though she didn't see him dead, that's going to be it. Okay, Okay, one second. I got to wrap this up. Give me one second.